When this is over, may we never again take for granted a handshake with a stranger, conversation with neighbors, a crowded theater, Friday night out.
The taste of communion, a routine checkup, the school rush each morning, coffee with a friend, the stadium roaring each deep breath.
That's an excerpt from a poem written recently by Minnesota writer Laura Kelly Fanucci. I am thankful to be sharing it with my good friend and poet resident Kwame Alexander. Hi, Kwame.
Hey, Rachel. Her piece really speaks to the immense power of poetry.
Right, a power we all need in this moment. And if you want to check out that entire poem, you can see it on our Facebook page, NPR Poetry with Kwame Alexander. So this is the first time that you and I have talked since all of our lives have been turned upside down by the pandemic, right?
It is. And now more than ever, we need to lean into poetry. These loving works broken into stanzas can help us find courage and solace. There's a friend of mine in Castleton, New York. Her name is Stacy Ratner. She sent me this poem by a fifth grader in Miss Crystal Martin's class. His name is Mikey. And he wrote this very honest and thoughtful poetic reflection.
Okay, let's hear it.
There is a virus in the world that's making everyone sick, and it's called the coronavirus. And it's getting to everyone quick. We stay inside all day and night, and I hope this goes away. I want to go back to school so I can see my friends and play. I even miss my teachers and some schoolwork.
Mikey, that was awesome.
Poetry perfectly explains the inexplainable and it expresses the ineffable, like the paintings we assigned our listeners to write about.
Right, these paintings. So these were works that were meant to inspire you. Kadir Nelson's Heatwave, also Salvador Dali's Young Woman at a Window. And in both of these, we see women who are inside looking sort of longingly out into the world, which feels appropriate in this moment.
Exactly. But even amidst this confusing time, our listeners took to the sky with this challenge, Rachel. We got some amazing ekphrastic poetry.
A response to a piece of art, in our case, a response to two painters' masterpieces. And we did. We got an overwhelming number of submissions, more than 1,300 of them.
I titled it Social Distance. Summer bears down on the city like Granny's old quilt. Her potted plant swoons on the ledge out of breath. Eyes closed, attuned to a second skin of sweat. She stretches neck and torso, searching for a cool note rising from the street below.
The fantastical queen, her crown of wrapped locks, the jewels in her melanin sparkle. Her body slick in Brooklyn's summer, oiled mahogany. From her window, she holds court. She reigns where dogs interact with rainbows. For her, plants bow their head down low. Hottest thing in town, stuck inside all day.
She opens all the windows, her imagination of freedom, something to hold on to. Only half there, her mind is far off across the world.
Kayaking quietly, gazing at glaciers, watching waves dance, a boat out to sea. The sea breeze blowing against her loneliness, perched up in the hills, overlooking a world of fraud. Soul ready to sail away.
You see, smart women bend, like stems grabbing at the light, muscles coat limbs as eyelids stalk the horizon to calculate what comes next, drought or a wall of water. High cheekbones not afraid to climb out or crawl up. It is the same horizon, no matter the color, the same sun.
Guess that's how Rapunzel felt, staring freedom in its face, terrified of the unknown, but wanting to escape, quarantined by society, restricted by these walls, shouting streets stilled, people's voices wilted like plants, no dinner with friends.
The sea is forever capricious, a mercurial creature with fickle temperament. The gentle blue of harbor water hides its ferocity like a wolf in sheepskin. But she will not wilt. Sometimes, as day descends, the dog can have the fabricated ice, the artificial colors. She takes the water cool and clear, and the city's facade can't hold her from sailing away on the tide of night.
She sees herself in the sky, in the muddied turquoise of the curtain, in the warm turquoise of the window frame, in the gentle peace that shall not last. She is not thinking about the next time they will see each other. She is not thinking about the last time they saw each other.
She is not thinking about the empty grocery shelves. She is not thinking about the furrowed, frowning eyebrows. She is not thinking about the word quarantine and why it sounds so social.
She is not thinking about the way her lungs hold onto air, like making love to molecules. She is not thinking about the grandmother and grandfather in apartment 2C.
She is not thinking about whether clouds are aware of their silly shapes and feel self-conscious. She is not thinking about whether the butter will last.
At the window, she considers that she is not who she was, and she is not who she will be. She is transforming. She will be strong and resilient. She will be honest with herself and those she loves. She will have stories to tell, and when she does, they will no longer shake her voice.
From here, she will see the anxiety, the worry, paint over its bold permanence like oil and acrylic on canvas. From here, she hopes, offering it to neighbors from a safe distance. From here, she sings, transcending the dark, somber strain. From here, she believes we will get through this. From here, today will be good, and tomorrow will be better.
Thank you to all our listeners who made that happen. Thank you to you, Kwame, for putting it together. To read the whole poem, go to our website, and we will also there name all the contributors who made this poem possible. We all lift each other up through poetry, through the shared word. So thank you. Thanks to all of you.
And thank you, Rachel, for sharing this with me. This was good.
Yeah, this was good. Kwame Alexander, you can catch him on Instagram Live each day reading from his Newbery Medal-winning novel, The Crossover. Till next time.
Stay safe and strong, Rachel.